department and work for you, Nick. Luke chapter 6, verse 46 says, "And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you whom he is like. He is like a man which built a house and digged deep, and laid the foundation on a rock. When the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house, and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built a house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house is great." Jesus here gives us another description of salvation. And this description of salvation is like many other descriptions of salvation. It points out that salvation is not just repeating a prayer for a moment and it not making any change in your life. The descriptions of salvation that you find in the Bible are a changed life. Something that happens to you through between you and God. You establish a relationship between you and God, and it actually changes your direction, it transforms your life, and it makes you where you used to be one way, and now you're going a different way. It's a transformation of life. It's an establishment of a relationship with God. Here, the description of salvation is like building your house upon a rock. Building your house upon a rock. Have you ever considered that? Building your house. And what is this rock? What are we talking about? Building your house upon a rock. He says, it's hearing what I say and doing what I say. Over there in Matthew chapter 7, I'm just going to go ahead and read that. I normally want to distract you from what we're reading, but over in Matthew chapter 7, if you look at verse 24, he says something similar. A little bit different sermon here going on. One was in the mountain and the other one was in a plain, so Jesus preached the same thing many times. This is a little bit different. He says it this way, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it." Jesus says, on the one side, this is a wise man that listens to his sayings and follows what Jesus is saying, and he's like a wise man that builds his house upon a foundation, upon a rock. And then the other side is a foolish man. A foolish man that didn't pay attention to his sayings, that didn't listen to his teachings, that didn't follow his word, and he's that foolish man that built his house upon whatever was there. It turned out to be a sand pile, and when the problems came, the house falls, great fall. Now, let's be a little intentional about this. Let's pay attention to what Jesus is saying here. What I was reading in Luke comes at the end of what's called the Sermon on the Plain, or in the plain, very similar to the Sermon on the Mount. But he says that here, he says, "You call me Lord, but then you don't do what I say." And that's like building your house upon the earth with no foundation. But if you would listen to what Christ says, and you would build your house upon His Word, then you're building your house upon a foundation. It's the same thing as digging deep and finding the rock and building up your house on the rock, so that whatever happens, your house stands. Now, have you ever thought about life as a building? I'm talking about living life intentionally.
Amen.
I'm talking about living life with a purpose.
Amen.
With a determination. With an objective.
Yes.
I'm talking about taking your life and treating it like a building. Like in, first of all, having an overall plan. for your life, an overall plan, and also having a solid foundation for your life, and also making gradual progress, making improvement in your life according to this plan that you have. And this is the way God is telling you to live your life, to build your life, to build yourself on a rock with this plan, with this determination, with this intention of living for God. And he called that why.
Amen.
And then if you aren't that way, he called that foolish.
Amen.
There's a lot of foolishness going on.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Love. Well, you know, God wants us to live awake and aware.
Yeah.
He wants us to live with purpose and with determination. He also wants us to have some expectation, some hope. He doesn't want us to live like so many, a passive life. I say reactionary, not in the sense, the political sense where, you know, like you're reactionary. I'm not sure what that means. But I mean in the sense that you just react to whatever happens, like life is just a series of events, and that you just react however you react at the moment that it happens to you, without any plan of going forward, no building involved. You're not thinking about building. In fact, the only thing you're really good at is destroying. You're kind of like those kids at the beach that don't build sandcastles. They go around stomping them. You know what I'm talking about. It's a lot easier to stomp on a sandcastle than it is to build one. I did that one time. I spent probably 3 or 4 hours building an elaborate sandcastle of a sunken ship. A broken ship or something, whatever. And I mean, I had the little windows in the deal, and I had the banisters, and I had the forecastle, or however you say that thing. I had all, it looked like an old Spanish galleon ship. I had everything dug in there just right. I had brought tools. I spent hours on it. And it's just started the sun started to go down, and so I had to take somebody into the hotel thing. So I took one of the kids to the hotel, and I came back out there. And the thing was destroyed. A guy came up to me and said, "It was that kid right over there." I didn't even get a chance to take a picture of it. Don't you hate kids like that? Some people live their lives in a listless, directionless, purposeless manner.
Yeah.
As if life is just a series of events, or a series of thrills, or a series of pleasures, or a series of desires, or a series of emotions, without any concept of having a plan and living according to a plan. But that's what Jesus said. You're just being foolish. You're living your life as if it has no meaning, as if there's nothing to live for. You actually have the concept that your life is worthless and meaningless, and has no significance. You devalue yourself. If I come and tell you your life has value.
Yeah.
If I stand here by the authority of God's word to say your life has value.
Amen. Amen.
It has meaning. It has significance. And if it has value, God ought to have value to you.
That's right. Amen.
Your life has value. You are important. The Bible says you were made in the image of God. Not your dog. Not your chicken. You! You are important. Your decisions matter. It matters! It matters how you build your life. It matters what you do with yourself. It matters how you live. It matters how you respond to God. It matters how you interact with other people. It matters because you're important. Your life has value. That's why Jesus says, stop and think. Get yourself a plan and build your house upon a rock.
Amen.
And I'm telling you how to do it. If you want to be wise, build it after me.
Amen.
Pay attention to my words. Pay attention to my philosophy. Pay attention to my thinking.
Yes.
Listen to me, he says, and do what I say, and you'll build your house upon a rock. And I tell you, he's right.
Yes.
And he's right.
Yes.
Absolutely right. build it. Build your character.
Yes.
You know you're supposed to build your character? That's something we don't have a whole lot of lately in this generation. Character. I know that I get a distorted view of young people because I work in the juvenile justice system, so I get this distorted view of young people. Maybe you people who deal with a lot more of a broader sampling of young people, your school teachers, something of that nature, maybe you have a little different outlook. My outlook is that there's an awful lot of young people who are just plain characterless. They got no sense of conscience. No sense of doing the right thing. No sense of their own value or their own significance or the meaning of their life. They have no connection. They cannot connect the dots. That the decisions that they make are what's causing them to have their problems.
Amen.
They have no character. And they've never been taught character. And they're not trying to get character. And if somebody comes to them and offers them a way to get out of this rut that they're in, they don't want it. The only way to do it is the judge has to command it.
Yeah.
But they won't do it on their own. They won't stop smoking marijuana. They just won't do it. They enjoy it. They think that's what life's about. Just get a little high. Just have a little fun. Just do whatever comes to mind. Just satisfy my emotional needs right now. That's what they want. No character. Have you ever crossed your mind that God wants you to build your character?
Amen.
By the way, you're not born with it. You're not born with character. Somebody says, well, I was born this way. That's right. You never changed. You weren't supposed to stay that way. You weren't supposed to stay that way. You were born stupid. But you're not supposed to stay stupid. You're supposed to get a little knowledge. You're supposed to change a little bit. You're supposed to beef up some things. You're supposed to strengthen some things. You're supposed to exercise some things. And get do you realize it's worth it? Because Jesus said so. He said, build your character after my words. If you read the Sermon on the Mount, you'll get an idea of what kind of character he wants you to get.
That's right.
Hey, it's like, if you just go back into Luke chapter 6, you'll notice over there in verse 24, he says, you ought to avoid covetousness.
Amen.
Even preaching to Americans. Avoid covetousness. Avoid materialism. Jesus did this. Jesus told you this. Now I know that's not the American way. You see, the American way, greed is good. Stuff is good. Buying stuff, getting more stuff, getting new stuff, getting newer stuff, getting better stuff. Having better stuff than your neighbor has. That's the American way. It's just not Jesus' way. You know what Jesus said? Don't be covetous. What do you say over there?
Right.
He says, woe unto you that are rich. You got all kinds of things, but you're not rich in God.
Amen.
You're building bigger barns and you haven't made yourself right with God yet. It has to do with character. And people don't care about character. And they're not trying to get over their covetousness.
Amen. See, because they like their covetousness. They want their stuff.
Yeah. And they can't take their mind off the stuff. When Jesus is saying, you call me Lord, but then you don't do what I say. You think Jesus doesn't notice, right? He just goes over his head. He doesn't notice that he tells you, don't be covetous, and then you are.
Amen.
And then he doesn't notice that.
Amen.
And then you notice it. He also tells you not to live your life pleasing men.
Yeah.
He says, woe unto you when all men say great things about you. He tells you, don't worry about what people think about you. Don't live your life pleasing men.
Amen. Right.
Yet people just, that is just the way they live. Everything is about pleasing men. I mean, good grief. If some celebrity out there wears their pants with all kinds of holes in it, all the little kids want to do that. Why in the world? And if you get these rap singers or whatever out there and they've got tattoos, everybody wants tattoos. And then if they wear their pants so that they're showing their underwear and they got a wolf like this, then you know what, their legs spread so they wrap their pants. Well, then you got all these dipstick kids in high school who want to do the same thing. But Jesus said, build some character. You don't got to follow these people.
Right?
You don't have to talk like them. You don't have to think like them. You don't have to act like them. You don't have to look like them. Why in the world would you be doing that? Why in the world would you make They can't keep their marriage together, but they can play basketball.
Wow.
Jesus said not to avenge yourself. You're talking about building character. You ever try that? Be also self-defensive. Make sure you get your way. And don't be so quick to defend yourself. Don't be so quick to avenge yourself. I'm not saying that. Jesus did. He says, you're foolish if you go around avenging yourself.
Right.
Hey, I'm not saying that. He said, you're foolish if you go around avenging yourself. And you're wise if you pay attention to his words. And if somebody smites you on one cheek, just turn the other.
Yep.
Hard to do, isn't it? Hard to do. I was preaching one time. And this gang of kids, they were smaller than me, but there was a bunch of them, came up to me and said, so you're a Christian? I said, yeah. So what would you do if I hit you across the face? I said, I'd hit you back. I said, what would you do? I said, yeah, yeah, I'd do the same thing. It's not easy to follow the Lord's example.
Amen.
I have a feeling if I had told him, I won't do anything. He'd have hit me. Now, I have been hit. And I did hit him back. What I'm telling you is, Jesus is serious when he says, you're foolish if you don't live like me.
Right.
If you don't live like I tell you, you're foolish. If you don't build your character the way I'm telling you to build your character, you're being foolish, you're not pleasing me, and you're not building your life on the rock.
Right.
You're going to have problems if you don't listen to him.
And I guarantee you will. And if I hit that kid, I'd be in jail still.
Yeah. Or maybe dead.
No.
See, God's pretty smart. You know, the Bible tells you, isn't it right? Jesus here in this chapter, he tells you to avoid hypocrisy.
Amen.
Most of the world just lives in hypocrisy. That's just their entire life. It's all about show. It's all about what is presented. They don't want to live in a simple kind of a life that does not have pretensions and posturing. It's all about posturing. Have you ever noticed that people have a much higher opinion of themselves than they often?
Amen.
Amazing. Jesus tells you, don't be that way. He tells you to be honest and truthful. What he says here, to be honest and truthful. You know, we live in lies.
Yeah.
Where's the character building? Aren't you building your character? Aren't you trying to live for God in a way that would please him so that God will look at you and say, he's being wise. See, here's my word, and he does what I tell him. See, this is the description of salvation. It's not about just, you know, making a deal with God so you can still live however you want and escape hell. That's not what salvation is. It's about changing your life to live according to his will.
Amen.
It's about turning around and following him. Why do you call him Lord if you don't do what he said? Building your house upon the rock. He talks about being generous with strangers, people who can't pay you back. Everybody's generous with friends. And he says, you know, if you just give to your friends, well, everybody does that. Even publicans do that. Even Gentiles do that. Yeah, but if you help somebody that can't help you back, if you're generous to somebody that has nothing to offer you, well, then you're being more like God who sends rain on the evil.
Oh,
hey, we're talking about just building your character on God's Word.
Amen.
Building your character on Christ's information. He's telling you how to build your character. Are you working on that? Are you? He tells you to help strangers. He sure does. Verse 32 and verse 33. He says it. And then he says to be thankful.
Amen.
Amen.
To be thankful.
Amen.
Wow. He also tells you to be merciful. Now, what we're talking about here is building your character on the words of God. Not trying to be like all them people out there. Not trying to be like those people you see on television.
Yeah.
Not trying to be like that. Have you ever noticed the way people act? I don't know. I've been watching the Spurs play, and I just noticed. I just noticed how when somebody makes a great shot, they just get so proud.
Yeah.
They get so, I don't know, amazingly team at that point. They made a shot. They made a great play or something. And then they become crazy. They lose their minds. They haven't even accomplished anything. And yet people want to be like them. These tablets, commercial says, be like mine.
Never gave his last name.
Don't know who's talking about. But just be like mine. People aren't building their character right. They're not living wisely because they don't try to follow Christ's words. They're not trying to follow His book in order to build their character in a way that will be actually pleasing to God. But that's what God tells you to do. And He says this is the same thing as building a house upon a rock. And that seems wise. Build your house upon a rock. Why don't you go to all the trouble to build your house on shifting sand or just loose dirt? Here in Texas, when they set up a mobile home, I guess because they think they're going to move it. But what happens when a mobile home becomes a fixated place and it's just going to be staying there, and it's got just big old flat rocks on top of the ground? And after a while, that whole thing is leaning like this. It's 6 inches farther down on this side, and then sometimes it dips in the middle. That's the way people build their houses sometimes. Why would you do that? Stick down, get to the rock. They said, yeah, but it's 150 feet to get to the rock. So they need to pour a rock, right? Well, you know what I'm talking about. You've got to build your house on something firm. All right. Then you're foolish if you don't. All right. How about building your home upon Christ's word?
Amen.
Building your marriage.
Amen.
You know, Jesus has a lot to say about marriage. Had a little bit to say about divorce. I'm not picking on you. I know. All they have would be divorce. But that's not what Jesus told you to do. Yeah. You're going to build your life on what Jesus said. You're going to build your life on what's now popular. What now can be done. But now it's not a stigma anymore. You didn't divorce. You married three or four times. Nobody will hold it against you. But Jesus might. It's because Jesus said so. You know what Jesus says about marriage? Have you read it? He said, God in the beginning made them male and female. By the way, not both males.
Right.
Not both females.
Right.
It's what God has to say about marriage. Who cares what the Supreme Court says?
Yeah, right.
It doesn't matter. If you're not following the Supreme Court, if you follow the Supreme Court, you're foolish.
Amen.
I'm not making this up. This is what Jesus says. I'm just agreeing with Jesus. What does Jesus say about fornication? It comes out of the heart and condemns men. That's what Jesus said. It says fornication condemns men. You're not allowed to sleep around. You're not even allowed. I had this one guy tell me, well, I don't commit adultery, but I go to strip clubs. It doesn't matter. He said, it doesn't matter what floats your boat as long as you're satisfied in the house. I said, no, that's not what Jesus said.
Right.
He said, well, what did Jesus say? Jesus said that if you look on a woman to lust after her, you've already committed adultery in your heart.
Who
says, you're right, doesn't he? Why don't you build your life on Jesus? Build your marriage on Jesus. Hey, listen, Jesus didn't tell you to get your fun out of pornography.
Amen.
That's not what he taught you.
Right.
Why are you doing that? Just because it's easy? Just because it's normal? Just because it's natural? Just because everybody is doing it? That's not what Jesus said. He says you're foolish. He has a lot to say about building your marriage. But you know, by the way, let me tell you something. Pornography will destroy your marriage.
Yeah.
Men or women, no matter which one. I know you women should really look down on those men because we are pigs. That's true. We got some real problems. Men have some real problems. And women, you probably don't really understand just how bad we are. But I got news for you. All those romance novels that you read, they're just about the same thing.
Yeah, it
is. It's a bunch of junk. And Jesus says, stay away from it. Why? He says to build your house upon a rock. How are you going to build a marriage? How are you going to build a home? So you got to build it Jesus' way. Or you'd be foolish. Your home will be destroyed. The Bible goes to a little bit of trouble and tells you how to behave around the opposite sex. And all this flirting going on in the workplace is not how.
Right.
How many people, how many women have hit on me at my work? And I'm an old dude. I've had them ask goes home when you're done working.
Yeah.
Amen.
You spend your time with your family. You spend your time with your wife. You spend your time with your children. I don't have an awful lot of respect for these men who have their wives at home, and then they're going out gambling. They're going out doing their thing with their guys, with their friends. They've got their own little life on the side. That's not a family life. That's not what Jesus said. The people that Jesus said here, my heart's in here, he talks about the family life quite often. He said, I have my family here in the house with me. We're all asleep. He talks about the family life. They're not out in the middle of the night somewhere shooting pool.
Yes.
Shooting hoops. What does God say about drink? You're not going to build a house. You're not going to build your house. You're not going to build your family by being a drunk.
That's right.
What are you bringing that stuff into your house for?
Yeah.
Is that what you want? No. Listen to what Jesus tells you. Listen to how he tells you to live soberly. To live soberly. Look not on the wine and booze in the cup. Just don't look at it. Stay away from it.
Amen.
Faithfulness, hard work, faithfulness in family, faithfulness in job, faithfulness in church, faithfulness to build your life on a rock, build your marriage on a rock so it stands. So it stands, and it ain't easy, folks. Any marriage that lasted any time at all, that was hard work. Somebody had to live intentionally and do that on purpose.
Amen.
How about teaching your children about God? You know, the Bible tells you to do that, right?
Amen.
The Bible tells you to teach your children about God. It's not the pastor's job. The pastor's job is just to stand up here and insult you every Sunday morning. Your job is to teach your children about God.
Amen.
You have a family offering your kids? See, they're too young. They're not too young. Start having family offers with your kids. We did it. We did it with my parents. My parents had family offers with us. I'm not sure what their schedule was, but we did. We read the Bible. We sang some hymns and what have you. We, my wife and I, we got real stickly about it. And every morning there was a school day, we would get up a little bit earlier and we would all sit together around the living room and we would read a chapter or two of the Bible.
Amen.
Interchanging it. I would read a verse and somebody else would read a verse, or I'd read two and somebody else would read two, and they'd go all the way around. And the ones, even the children that could not read, we would have them read after us. You'd read a couple of words and they would repeat those words. And we would do that until we would finish that chapter, and then we would pray, and then we would sing a song. We'd go through this hymn book. We just, wherever we were, the day before, we put a marker, and then we'd sing the next song, and we knew what song we were going to come up with, but there was a song, and some of the ones we didn't even know. We just tried to sing them along, trying to figure them out. Why? That's just the way we did our family offer. And guess what? We finished the Bible over three times.
Amen.
Finished the whole Bible over three times. Then you get people say, I just don't have time to read the Bible. Finished the Bible. We were on our fourth time when our last kid left the house. Hey, you can do it.
That's right.
But this is talking about building your house upon the rock. Now, it's not a guarantee. Your kids don't have to make their own decisions. It's not a guarantee about their salvation, about their future, about anything. There's no guarantees in that sense. But at the same time, I built my house on a rock. I built my family on the rock of the Lord's teaching.
Amen.
The nurture and admonition of the Lord, he says. I think you ought to eat your meals together.
Amen.
I know you're all busy. You're about to go on your way, especially you get kids in high school and all these different things going on. Hey, folks, I'm telling you, I think you ought to eat some meals together. And I think you ought to pray over your meals.
Yes.
You ought to be thankful to God over your meals. I think so. You know, God has something to tell you.
Yes.
How you treat people, how you treat your family. And how, hey, you know, he also has something to say about how you treat your pets.
Right.
Told you it's my job to insult you.
Be gentle.
Hey, I'm not making this up. Jesus said, just trying to follow what Jesus said, and he said it is not appropriate to feed the children's food to the dogs.
That's right.
said it wasn't appropriate, guys. He said it is not meat. And he's right. What are you doing feeding your dogs? Man, Debbie one time cooked French toast and gave it to my dog.
Not obeying what he says. He tells you, he gives you over and
trying to steal from widows.
Yeah.
Once you put that together, try to figure out what he's talking about.
Amen.
Somebody trying to get your relative out of purgatory tells you he'll do it for $500. I'm not making that up.
No, that's right.
That's real.
That's right.
They will tell you they're going to get your husband out of purgatory. Poor widow got to pay him $500 to get her husband out of purgatory. They're liars. All they want is your money.
Amen.
They make a pretense of prayer. They mention all their names up in the front. All along there. And if every one of them pays $500, the priest is the one that benefits. Why are you following that? Why don't you listen to Jesus? He said, woe unto them.
Yes.
Because you make for a pretense long prayers, and you're going to receive greater damnation. Jesus gives you all kinds of wisdom about creation. He tells you who not to be like. He says, don't be like those people who dress in long, long robes. You think he's talking? People who dress in long robes, they want to be called father.
Yeah.
They want to call people, they want to be called reverend. They want to be called master. They want the first seats. You ever seen any churches where you got the stage, you got the pastor up there and he's sitting on the throne on the stage?
Yep.
Something wrong with that.
Yep.
Yeah, there is. There's something wrong with that.
Yeah.
Worship God based on the Bible. What about prayer? What about getting together with God in prayer? Some of you haven't come to a prayer meeting in 20 years. Why don't you get together with God and pray? It's how you build a relationship with God. That's what he's telling you. It's not just building your house on the sand. You wouldn't have any familiarity with God because you never prayed to him. What about reading your Bible? What about giving?
Amen.
Yeah, I'm talking about your money. I'm not telling you to give it to me. I don't need it. I got plenty.
Amen.
I'm not joking. I got plenty. I never would have guessed that I'd have as much money as I've got right now. Now, Debbie's always saying, oh, no, we need more. I'm telling you, you want to build a relationship with God, and it's going to cost you something.
Yes, yes.
What are you giving your children?
Yes.
Amen.
Do the sermon.
Yes. Give him your children.
Yes. Do the sermon.
Yeah. You know, if you give him your children, he'll take them.
Yeah.
Right. Thank you, John. Take them to New York. Make you afraid. But God is telling you, give them to me. Isn't that what he did to Abraham? Did he say, give me your child?
Right.
Give him. Wow. He did that also in Jacob, by the way. He did it to Hannah, didn't he? He's done it to an awful lot of people, folks. Where he comes up and says, I want your children. Are you going to give them to me? And I did that to all my children. They were too small. I said, God, have you all? They're yours. They're all yours. I want you to take them. I want you to use them. I want them to be yours. Absolutely. You ought to do that. You ought to build a relationship with God and build it according to what God says in the book. You ought to surrender your family. You ought to surrender to God's will in your life. God might be telling you to do something. God might be telling you to change this, to do something else, to change this way you're being. He's trying to get something out of you. He wants you to change it. Your friends. He wants you to change your job. I don't know what he wants, but he wants something. Why not surrender to him? It's called building your relationship to God. What about surrendering to God's call? You know how God calls? Didn't he say, separate unto me, Barnabas and Saul? I got something special.
Amen.
But then you got these Christians that say, oh, no. Not me. Sometimes God calls the man and the wife says, no way, I ain't going. Let me tell you something. Jesus Christ is telling you to build your life on his word.
Amen.
Your life has value. You are important.
Amen.
And your decisions matter.
Yes.
Amen.
Build your life.
Amen.
We're going to stand and we're going to sing number 397. You want to get yourself right with God in some way? You're welcome to come up to this altar and pray. If you want to talk to me, I'm here for you. Ready to talk to you? Sing number 397.